sahana bhavatu, sahana pranaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvinavatitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
All right. Let's see, look at the book here. We left off, oh, we're on page 8. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to start with Nanu Katam Bodhisyanityatvam, second line of page 8. And for you who are following the transliteration, it will be the second line of the transliteration starting with Nanu. Okay? But I want to remind you of why this discussion is beginning. And it's because the top line of verse 2 that we did last week is has the compound Nitya Bodhisvarupam. It uses for consciousness, it uses the word Bodha for consciousness. The one whose nature, whose Swarupa is timeless consciousness, okay? And it's timeless knowledge. Bodha, the word Bodha is usually used in the sense of knowledge or a cognition, knowledge in the sense of a cognition. And so the objection here, the Nanu, is that what introduces an objection is, you know, how can you say that Bodha, which means really he's using it in the sense of cognition, how can that be timeless? So that's where the argument is based on the verse, as usual. All of these arguments are going to be based on the verse 2. So the first line of verse 2, okay, which has the compound Nitya Bodhisvarupa. Okay. Everybody see that verse 2?
Yeah.
You don't need
that. I don't see that.
No, it's in verse 2. You have to go back one page to page 7.
Page 7.
Yeah. And I'm just refreshing your memory from last week, okay? Go back one page. Do you see the verse there?
Manu.
Yeah, the verse. Do you see the on the first line of the verse, the last half of the verse, of the first line says Nitya Bodhisvarupam?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That means the one whose nature is talking about the Atma, the one whose Swarupa nature is Nitya Bodha. Nitya means timeless, free from time. Bodha means knowledge. But the word knowledge, whether we use knowledge or chaitanyam or chit, all of these words are used synonymously for awareness or consciousness. But Bodha is normally and very commonly used for knowledge. Means like a cognition. You gain knowledge of something, just like we use the word knowledge, right? I gain knowledge of this, or I have this understanding or this cognition. So here, the objection, if you start something with Nanu, it's saying, how can knowledge be timeless, right? So what he's really questioning here is the use of the word Bodha. So let's start again with Nanu on page 8. Go back to page 8, which is the beginning of the handout. And we'll start. We did one line of this, but I'm going to just, for the sake of completion, we'll start here. So repeat after me. Nanu
katam
bodhasya
katam bodhasya
nityatvam
nityatvam
bodho hi nama jnanam
bodho hi nama jnanam
Tatcha
Indriyartha Indriyartha
Sannikarshadina
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 Jayate
Jayate
Samutpadyate
Samutpadyate.
That's what we did. So I'm going to we'll retranslate it. Nanu. When it starts with Nanu, it's in doubt, colon, okay? This is a doubt, Nanu. Katam bodhasya nityatvam. Katam, how? In English, you would say, the nityatvam, the eternality, or the timelessness of knowledge, How can knowledge be timeless?
So, mm-hmm. I want to ask you, the Buddha is infinite, right?
Yes.
And so is it like how can naked one be off the Buddha?
If, no. This is really actually a really important question. I've gone over it a couple of times, and I'll go over it many... No, it's not a criticism. what I'm saying is that this is something to make note of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's very important because in Sanskrit, especially in the Bhashas, they will always pervasively use this abstract, which is a word that ends in tvam, twat, twena. There's another way of forming the abstract with a ta that I point out sometimes. So when we use an abstract construction, the thing that they're referring to will be put into the genitive. So for instance, if you say nityatvam, nitya would mean it's free from time. Nityatvam, the state of being free from time,
mm-hmm.
or timeless,
mm-hmm.
timelessness. So the timelessness of Bodha.
Hmm.
Right? It's the Bodha. Okay. It's the Bodha that has the timelessness.
Yes.
Now the problem is in English we can't go on saying the timelessness of knowledge and the, you know, the limitlessness of the Atma, because it becomes a kind of a strange construction in terms of our use of syntax. So here you would say, literally doubt. How is there timelessness for knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
How is there timelessness? How can there be the timelessness of knowledge?
Right.
But now, I want to point out something else. You can't get stuck into genitive only translating as of.
Mm.
That's a problem. Or then ablative only translating as the word for.
Mm.
Or locative only translated as the word in or on. Sometimes in the Sanskrit syntax, they will use a genitive in a construction that takes the genitive, and we say it a little bit differently in English. So you have to have some flexibility there. It's not just a one-to-one correlation, okay? Because otherwise you get really in trouble when you're trying to translate or understand what they mean.
But the genitive is a possession, right? So you can say, how can the thief possess timelessness?
It's more than possession. Genitive is more than possession. Like, for instance, genitive can also be both the object and the subject of a gerund, of a noun that's a gerund. Like, for instance, if I were saying the sweeping of the street, that's not possession. So that's why we have to keep expanding our understanding of each one of these cases.
But in this case, Buddha here doesn't mean Buddhi anyway.
No, it means knowledge.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you meant knowledge. So with that, I'll keep explaining these cases, and it's very useful to so don't be shy to question the use of a case, because that'll give me a chance to expand on its meaning. So nanu, doubt, : katam bodhasya nityatvam. I would say, how can knowledge be timeless? Right? How can knowledge have this nature? How can knowledge have the nature of being timeless? Too many words. Right? But that's literally what it says. How can knowledge have the nature of timelessness? How can knowledge be timeless? So how can there be timelessness for knowledge? All of these ways are awkward translations of what is said here, but I want you to be able to kind of get it. So how can knowledge be timeless? Why did they say that? Bodohi nama jnanam. He can mean because or give emphasis. Bodha nama. By the word nama. By the word bodha. That nama can be by the name, by the word, what we call. Right? It's an indeclinable. So what we call nama. Or what we call Bodha, what we call knowledge, right? Or by the word Bodha, we mean is jnanam. Jnanam is meant. Knowledge, by the word Bodha, is knowledge. It's awkward, right? But how would we say it in English? By the word jnanam, by the word Bodha, we mean jnanam. Now, remember that the word jnanam as knowledge is often translated as a cognition, which is a perfect translation here. So by the word knowledge, we mean a cognition, like antakaran and vritti, right? So here, that's what it's saying. By the word knowledge, because he, bodhaha nama jnanam, by the word knowledge, by the word bodha, we mean jnanam. Bodha, the name bodha is jnanam. So we're adding some words here for English. Tatcha, and that, tat, that, cha, and, tatcha, and that, indriyarta sannikarsha adina jayate samutpadyate. Okay? And that jayate, if I take that verb, and that is born, is produced. Samutpadyate is a synonym. Arises from, is produced, is born of. So that is born of samutpadyate, that is produced by what? Indriya artha sannikarsha adina. By the sannikarsha, the contact of the sense organ with the artha, the object. By the contact between the indriya, the sense organ, and the artha, the sense object. Or you can just take it by sannikarsha with the sense object. Well, you can take it like that. Just say by sannikarsha, by contact with the sense object. Because sannikarsha is a technical term that actually means the contact of the sense organ with the sense object. So you could take it, if you broke the compound, you can take it by the contact, the sannikarsha, of the sense organ with the sense object, or of the sense object, the artha, by the sense organ, or just by the sense object, the object of sense. There's some different ways of breaking it, but all of them are correct, because all of them mean the sannikarsha, the contact of the sense organ with the sense object. And you see it says adi, sannikarsha adina. The adina is in the instrumental. So that adi, right, adina, like harina. So that's the by there. So by the sannikarsha adi. Adi means by that which begins with sannikarsha contact. So what's it referring to? Pratyaksha, the sense perception, inference, presumption, the non-cognition, shabda, all of the different pramanas, cognitions that you have, cognitions in the mind, are born of, are produced by the pramanas. The first pramana, means of knowledge, is pratyaksha. What is pratyaksha? Means perception. Perception means what? The contact of the sense organ with the sense object. But then there's other means of knowledge. And all the other means of knowledge are based on perception. You have anumana and all of the others, and anupalabdhi. Okay? So you take that adi to refer to the other means of knowledge. Okay, so there we are. Right? Now, we're going to start from where we left off last week. So repeat after me. Utpannam cha jnanam.
Utpannam cha jnanam.
Svakarayena.
Svakarayena.
Samskarena.
Samskarena.
Virodhina.
Virodhina.
Jnanantarena.
Jnanantarena.
Va.
Va.
Vinashyati.
Vinashyati.
There's only one sandhi there, and that's that last, next to the last word, jnana antarena. Everything else is just straightforward, okay? So this is a continuation. See the semicolon there? These semicolons are actually, I'm not providing those. Those are actually provided by the text here. Okay, and so I'm just, as I copy this text into the into this work, I'm just also including their punctuation that they give you. So now, if you see utpannam cha jnanam, the cha is and when we're beginning a new clause or phrase, the cha will most often be put after the first word of the clause. So the next clause here is starting with utpannam cha jnanam. So, we'll start the clause with and. And utpannam jnanam. Knowledge which, utpannam, arises. Means knowledge which is produced. Utpannam is a past passive participle from utpad. And so it's an unusual construction where the da plus the ta becomes a double na. There's a few words like that. So it means, as a past passive participle, knowledge which is knowledge which is produced, then swakarayena samskarena, that's one, by a samskara which is swakarayena. Now, karya means an effect. Karana is cause, karya is an effect. Swakarya, its own effect, right? So by a samskara, what is a samskara? It's an impression. Like, for instance, if you have a vritti, a jnana vritti occurs, right? Then that jnana vritti itself, whatever occurs, like say if you see the pot or whatever, you see the pot, then that vritti itself, through associative thinking, etc., can produce another thought that's in relationship to it. It itself can give rise to a samskara, a memory or something connected to it. Right? That happens all the time. You see something or you have some sort of a perception, and that perception itself will generate another perception. So by a samskara means an impression, which is an effect of itself, of what is it itself? The knowledge, the cognition that has taken place. So swakarayena, samskarena, so a knowledge, a samskara, which is an effect of the knowledge. Virodina jnanantarena va. See that va? Mm-hmm. That means or, and that can come at the end of a series. Now, here, virodina means opposite. Jnana antarena, by another cognition. Antara means other. Jnana antarena, by another cognition, virodina, which is opposed. It's totally separate. Like if I have, say right now I have a cognition of this computer through sense perception, and now I look over here and I have a perception of whatever is in front of me. This cognition now negates this one. It has nothing to do with this one. I'm having a fresh cognition which will negate it. That's different than if I were to have a cognition, a vritti that comes as a result of a perception, right? Like an imagination or some sort of associative thinking. It itself produces another impression. Or I have another cognition, which is just totally different from it. It negates it, right? So it's opposed to it in the sense it just pushes it aside. So that va now is giving me two different options. By a samskara, which is its own effect, so the swakarayena is a genitive, is a adjective to samskarayena. Or virodina jnanantarena. Virodina is an adjective to jnanantarena. So by a cognition was, or by a cognition, another cognition which is opposed.
I put this swakarayena.
Virodina.
And virodina, are they both instrumental or not?
Yeah, they're. Okay. But an adjective is going to be in the same case as what it's an adjective to.
Okay.
So let's pick up the verb and then this will make sense. Know that va means or, and then vinashyati means destroyed. So go back to utpannam cha jnanam. Jnanam is neuter, and so it is the nominative, neuter nominative singular. And so it says, and an utpannam jnanam, and the knowledge which is produced, vinashyati, it is destroyed, that jnanam is destroyed, it perishes, what? By a samskara, an impression, which itself produces, which is an effect of itself, or by another cognition, which is opposed to it. Does everybody understand? And so, let's go to the next part.
Can you just say it clearly in English?
Any cognition that is produced through sense perception, etc., that cognition is displaced. It's destroyed by an impression that it itself might produce. Like if you see the lamp, then you might think of whether that lamp should be there or there. It can the cognition itself can produce another cognition,
yeah.
Or you can use your means of knowledge to actually produce a cognition that's totally unrelated to the prior cognition. But in either case, that cognition, the first cognition goes away. Okay? So, let's go to Akkaha. Repeat after me. Attaha.
Attaha.
Utpatti nasha.
Utpatti nasha.
Dharma vatvat.
Dharma vatvat.
Na nityam.
Na nityam.
Bhavitum.
Bhavitum.
Arhati.
Arhati.
Okay. There, I'll do the sandhi. Attaha. Then, these are the words in this compound. Utpatti, nasha, dharma, vat, twat. The vat and twat being the endings to the compound. Na, nityam, bhavitum, arhati. Okay? Attaha means therefore. Utpatti means birth or production. Nasha means destruction. The utpatti nasha would be the birth and the destruction. Dharma means an attribute. Dharma has many meanings. It can also mean the swarupa, but here it's just meaning the attribute of the nature, the dharma. But dharma, but having the dharma, but means shows possession. If you say but twat, that twat is an ablative ending, translates as because of being, because of having the nature of. So here we would say, because of it being a dharma, because of having the dharma, the attributes of birth and destruction. Mm-hmm. That but shows possession. Possession of what? Of the jnanam, of the cognition. So that which the but takes this utpatti nasha dharma, the attributes of birth and destruction, to jnanam, jnanam which has the attributes of birth and destruction. So now with that twat, you would say because of having the attributes of because of jnanam having the attributes of utpatti and nasha. You see how I'm doing that? Okay. Na nityam bhavitum arhati. It is not able, na arhati, to be. It is not able to be bhavitum arhati nityam. Na arhati. When you see that na arhati, it will govern an infinitive of purpose that ends in tum. So it would be not being capable of, not being able to, not being qualified to. That's the way arhati is used. So in English, we would just say it can't be timeless, mm-hmm. right? Because it has the because a cognition has the attribute of coming into being and going out of being, of utpatti and nasha, of being born and being destroyed, it can't be. It is unable to be nityam, timeless. Where nityam is the accusative singular of bhavitum. So na arhati, it is not able, bhavitum, to be nityam, timeless. Not because it has those attributes. Okay? Something that's born, produced, and destroyed is not timeless, just by simple logic. Okay? Everybody okay?
Yep.
Okay?
The compound, though, is in the ablative?
Yes, it is because of being. And when you have a twat, good way to translate it, because of being. Okay. Sometimes we have to work with it a little bit, but usually that works. Mm-hmm. Not, read after me. Napi.
Napi.
Bodha swarupatvam.
Bodha swarupatvam.
Atmana upapadyate.
Atmana upapadyate.
Nityatvad.
Nityatvat.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Anityatvat cha.
Anityatvat cha.
Bodhasya.
Bodhasya.
Okay. Let's do the sandhi. Na api. Bodha swarupa tvam. Right? Bodha swarupa tvam. There's your abstract. Bodha swarupatvam, two words, bodha and swarupatvam. Atmanaha, there's your genitive. Atmanaha, upapadyate.
Atmanaha is genitive?
Genitive, from atman. The ablative, genitive, are exactly the same. Right? Atmanaha. Upapajyate. I haven't really taught, those of you taking Sanskrit from me, we haven't gotten to consonant ending nouns.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do that. Okay. So, now after upapajyate, nityatvat, the twat because of being, okay, atmanaha, your genitive. Anityatvat cha, twat because of being, bodhasya, there's your genitive. Okay? When you see napi, na api, api means all, usually also or even, but napi, nor, usually we say not also would usually translate well as nor. So let's see. Not also, we'll put it together. Bodha, knowledge, being now used as cognition, okay? Bodha swarupatvam atmanaha upapajyate. Upapajyate is used in the Bhashyash. It's one of Shankara's favorite words. It comes all the time. It means is to be tenable. Upapajyate, it is tenable, it is possible. Okay? For something to be tenable or possible. When it's used in terms of logic. So very often he uses it this way. So now it would say, I would say, na api upapajyate. Well, let's look at the first of these words. Bodhisvarupatvam. The state of bodhisvarupa for the Atma. How would I say that? The self having knowledge has having bodha as its svarupa, as its nature, right? So, the bodhisvarupatvam, being bodhisvarupa, being one for the Atma, having for its svarupa bodha. So the svarupa being bodha, for being a cognition for the Atma, na api upapajyate, that also is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Nor is it tenable for the self to have for its svarupa, its nature, knowledge. Do you kind of see how to read that? That you've got the bodhisvaruptvam, the state of having the svarupa be knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The bodhisvaruptness, right? For the Atma. So how would you say it in English? The Atma having the nature of having for its nature knowledge, right? Na api upapajyate. That also is not tenable. Nor is that tenable. Is that tenable? What? The Atma having for its svarupa a cognition, right? Right, that's not possible. He says, why? Nityatvat atmanaha. Because of the self being timeless. Right? That's its definition. The self is nitya. So the self cannot be a cognition if the self is timeless. So because of being timeless for the self. How would we say it in English? Because of the self being timeless. Everybody see that? That twat, because of being, atmahan, the genitive, because of the self being timeless, that being gives the abstract, being timeless. Because of the self being timeless. That's how we say it in English. Nityatvat atmanaha. Now look at this one. Anityatvat cha bodhasya. What would that say?
The
bodha. And because of the cognition, and because of a cognition, bodha, being, anitya, time bound. Right? Nityatvat, because of being time bound, anitya.
Cognition is time bound.
Yeah. For a cognition, because of a bodha, because of a cognition being time bound. Right? So you can't say, now you can't say either one of these things. You can't say that the Atma has for its svarupa a cognition, nor can you say that a cognition that nor is a cognition, nor the other way around, nor can a and because of a cognition, and because a cognition itself is time bound, right? Everybody see it?
What was that again?
If we say that the argument is this, if it's not possible to say that the nature, that the Atma has for its nature a cognition, because as we just said, a cognition comes and goes. So therefore it says, why? Because the Atma doesn't come and go. It's timeless. Right? So you can't say it's a cognition. And also because the definition of a cognition is that it is time bound. Right? So these two can't go together. Right? So, which is what he says now. Let's read on. Nahi.
Nahi.
Nitya.
Nitya.
Anitya. I'm breaking it. Nitya, 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 anitya.
Nitya, anitya.
Now I'm going to do it again. Nitya, nitya, yo, yo.
Nitya, nitya, yo, yo, right.
It's going to be yoho. Yoho. Ureka swabhavatvam.
Ureka swabhavatvam.
Virodhat.
Virodhat.
Iti. Let's do the Sunday because there is some real Sunday here. Nahi nitya anitya yoho. Genitive dual. Like Rama yoho. Nitya anitya yoho. Where the Visarga becomes a Repha. Repha is a word for R.
Mm-hmm.
If I say Repha, Repha is a term for Rakara. I just say Repha. So nitya anitya yoho. Eka.
Eka
swabhavatvam. Virodat cha. Okay? So it says, he could be indeed or because, we have to reread the sentence and see what works best here, but what the sentence says is, for nitya and anitya, Eka swabhavatvam, one swabhava, one nature, right? There is not one nature. There is not one swabhava for what is timeless and what is time-bound. Nitya is timeless. Anitya is time-bound. So in English we would say maybe, because there cannot be one nature, one swabhava, eka means one, eka swabhava, eka swabhavatvam, the state of having one nature, for the timeless and the time-bound. Nitya, anitya yoho, right? Eka swabhavatvam, na. There can't be that.
What's the yoho?
Genitive. For these two, it's a dwandva compound. Nitya, anitya yoho.
Okay.
It's called a dwandva compound where you have different things that are put together by cha. Right? So nitya and anitya. But there's two things here, so we could say nitya anitya yoho, putting it in the genitive dual, even though it's a compound, right? So the swabhavatvam, the state of being eka swabhava, the state of having one swabhava, for nitya and anitya, no, not possible. In English, you would say, you would use can. Right? There can't, nitya and anitya can't have one swabhava. Literally just says, because there is not. There is not one swabhava for nitya and anitya, or because nitya and anitya cannot share one swabhava, because you've got the dual, right? Cannot have one swabhava, one nature. Everybody see? Why? Virodat cha. Ablative used in the sense of being causal, right? Virodat cha. Because contradictory. Viroda means contradiction. So if you say virodat cha, you would say because it's contradictory. Nitya and anitya can't be in the same place at the same time, right? It's either one or the other. You can't say that the Atma is both nitya and anitya. You can't say that Maya is both nitya and anitya, or that an object is both nitya and anitya, because they contradict each other. So if you say virodat cha, that's the fifth case. It's the ablative case. It means that you often translate as from or because of, right? Because it shows cause.
So they can't share.
They can't have the same nature. Nitya, timeless, and time-bound can't have the same nature. Okay for everybody?
So where's the cha?
Oh, there's no cha. No, but this is important. The cha is in the dwandva compound. Mm. A dwandva compound...
Oh, it's assumed in there.
Yeah. With this particular type of compound, you can have a series of words that are all hooked together by cha. You drop out the cha, you drop out the affixes, and just put the words together. This happens to be a dwandva of only two words, nitya and anitya.
And that's why it takes dual.
That's right. Nitya, anitya. As we'll see, when we study compounds, there's some compounds that will take the singular, even though there's two or three members, because they're referring to something that can be viewed singularly as a set. So there's a few like that. But normally it'll take the dual or the plural if there's more than two in the compound. So here there's only two. So nitya and anitya. So nitya nitya yoho. Eka svabhavatvam. There eka is in a karmadarya. It's an adjective, it's a compound, but it's an eka means one. It's an adjective to svabhava. Okay? So let's take just a little stand up break.
When you read it, do you read it's yoho eka or do you read yoho eka?
Well, if I were like Swamiji or if I'm teaching a class, I just automatically break the sandhi as I'm reading. So I would read, where is it? I would read like this. Nitya, anitya yoho eka svabhavatvam. That's usually, we read it breaking the sandhi, but I'm trying to read it both ways so you can recognize them.
So when they read the bhashya together, do they bring in all this grammar all the time too while they're unfolding the bhashya? Is that part of it?
That's part of it, definitely.
So no complaints.
No complaints. Mm-hmm. Let's take just a couple minutes, okay? Okay, I'm going to start this. There we go.
Where is it? On the next page?
We're on page 9 now. Atra Uchate. So can you repeat after me? Atra Uchate.
Atra Uchate.
Bodohi Nama.
Bodohi Nama.
Chaitanyam.
Chaitanyam.
Abhipretam.
Abhipretam.
Nacha.
Nacha.
Jnanam Chaitanyam.
Jnanam
Chaitanyam. Janyajnanasya. Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Hey, can you call me after 2? I'm giving a Sanskrit class.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Nacha jnanam chaitanyam. Again, read it. Janya jnanasya. Nyayatvena Gatadivat Jadatvat. Let me break the sandhi there. Atra Uchate. Do you see that? Atra Uchate. Bodaha hi Nama Chaitanyam Abhipretam. Na cha jnanam chaitanyam. Janya jnanasya. Compound. Janya jnanasya. Nyayatvena. Gata adivat. Gata adivat. Jadatvat. Okay? Atra. The atra is an indeclinable. It comes from, I think, ayam or one of the pronouns that means this. And this tra affix goes on to it, giving the sense of the locative case. So, for instance, if I say atra, it would mean here or in relation or regarding this. Tatra would mean there, regarding that. Yatra would be where, as a correlative, okay, as a relative. Okay, so here's the tra in the climb bowl. It means there regarding this, it means in response to this objection. So, atra uchate. Here, regarding this, in response to this objection, uchate. It is said. So, I would say, here it is said. Bodha hi nama. What we call bodha. What we call knowledge. By what we call, by the word knowledge, chaitanyam, consciousness, abhipretam is meant. Abhipretam, again, very common word, Shankara word. Abhipretam, and in all the bhashas, it means is meant, is intended. Okay? So here, chaitanyam abhipretam. Chaitanyam is meant. By what? By the word bodha. Not jnanam, not a cognition. By here, by the word bodha, chaitanyam abhipretam. Yeah.
So they're redefining bodha.
Yeah, they're telling
it is synonymous.
They're making it synonymous to chaitanya. Na cha jnanam chaitanyam. And, see how and comes after the first word of the second clause? And jnanam, a cognition, is not chaitanyam. Right? Of course, in the end, everything is chaitanya.
Right.
But now we're making a differentiation. Okay? Na cha jnanam chaitanyam. And both are neuter nominative singulars. And jnanam, a cognition, is not, see the na there, is not chaitanyam. Asti is the verb. If there's no verb, asti is the verb. So, and jnanam is chaitanyam. Why? Janya jnanasya. For a cognition, genitive, I'm using for now, okay, we might change it to of, but for now we'll use for a jnanam, for a cognition, which is produced. Janya comes from the root janja, to be born, to be produced. So janya means a cognition which is produced, okay? That's its very nature, a cognition which is produced. Nyayatvena, there's the twa. The twa affix, right? Nyaya means it's a potential participle from nya, to know. Nyaya means that which is known, that which is to be known, that which can be known, that which is how we usually translate it, objectified. It's objectifiable as an object of knowledge, right? That which is knowable. Okay, because of being an object of knowledge. Because of being objectifiable, it's twa, that twa. For what? For a cognition which is produced. So we would say, because of a cognition which is produced, right? Because of its being objectifiable, nyaya twena. What does it mean that what does that mean if a cognition is something which is objectified, means an object of knowledge, right? Gatadivat, like a gata, pot. Gata is a pot. Gatadi, like a pot, etc. They use they'll use a pot or a piece of cloth. Gata pata. It just stands for any object in the universe. So vat means like. Gata, pot, adi, etc. Like a pot, etc.
So they're reducing cognition to the status of a pot?
Yes. Because like a pot is objectifiable as an object of cognition, right? Of the pot itself is objectifiable. The cognition is objectifiable. It is something which is known, which is able to be known. Janya is like a potential participle. It's able to be known, right? Just by its very nature. Like a pot, by its nature, is something which is known. Hello? Yeah. You know, could you please call me after 1? I'd be happy to talk to you, but I'm teaching a class right now. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Rather, that's all. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's just saving.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Nyayam hiknyanam. Okay. Janyasya. Nyayatvena. Now, gatarivat jadatvat. Jada. This is a word that Swamiji is very careful of, because the word jada means inert. Right, that which is inert. Now, what do we mean by inert? Because he doesn't like to use it, because actually there's nothing here but consciousness. So there, in reality, there is nothing inert, because everything's consciousness. Like in a clay fresco, you know, bas relief statue carving, there's nothing there but clay. So you can't say You know, there's clay and then something else. However, when we say Jada, it means that from its own standpoint, it's not conscious, right? So, like for instance, we wouldn't say within the creation that a pot enjoys consciousness, right? It exists within, it's illumined, right? But from its own standpoint, it's not conscious. So like that, a vritti, which comes and goes, it has utpatti nasha, vinasha, right? It comes and it goes. It's an object of knowledge, and from its own standpoint, it's not conscious because it's illumined. You see what I mean? So when that's its condition, we call it jada. But if you look jada up in the dictionary, it just means inert. And we can use the word, but we have to put it in the context. So there, look at how they're using it. He says...
Well, then how something inert conscious? Consciousness.
Because so let me read this part and then you'll understand. Gakadi vat jada twat. Okay? So because of being jada, like a pot, etc. Right? It's because of being... I'm going to just use the word inert for now. Because of being inert, like a pot, a gutta, etc. Why do we say that it's inert? How is he defining inert? Janyat jnanasya jnayatvena. Right? Why is it inert? Because of being an object, right? Because of being objectifiable. What is it objectifiable? The cognition that comes and goes, the cognition that's produced, is an object of knowledge, it's jnaya. And since it's an object of knowledge, an object of awareness, it itself is not the awareness. So it comes and goes, the awareness remains. So it's making that differentiation. Everybody see that? So he wants to prove this now by giving an example that we can all relate to. So repeat after me.
Just real quick. Yeah. Adi, the gatadi.
Like pot.
Adi, the suffix means...
Well, adi is a word, and it means the beginning or the first.
Uh-huh,
okay. And so when this word adihi comes after a word, especially in a compound, it will literally mean that which has gutta as its first member, or that which begins with gutta,
uh-huh,
like with pot,
right.
And then we'll often translate it as pot, etc.
So it's sort of an etc. kind of...
It's like an etc. Because in English we're not going to usually say, unless we're trying to make it very clear, verbatim what the Sanskrit is saying, we would say gutadi, that which begins with the pot, or that which has for its first the pot. But what does pot stand for in this? In our context, pot always stands for something that is jada, for an object. So, gata adi, and then gata adi vat. And here that vat, remember sometimes vat, when it's declinable, it shows possession. If it's an indeclinable affix, it means like a pot, etc. And here's vat is being used indeclinably, like a pot, etc. So it's inert, like a pot. Okay? Like a pot, like a plate, like a piece of cloth. So let's read this next line. Nyayam hi jnanam.
Nyayam hi jnanam.
Gata jnanam me jatam.
Gata jnanam me jatam.
Patta jnanam me jatam. Jatamiti.
Jatamiti.
Sakshad.
Sakshad.
Anubhuyamanatvat.
Anubhuyamanatvat.
So if I break that into those last two words, sakshad, we'll keep it like that for now, sakshad, anubhuyamanatvat. That's one word, anubhuyamanatvat. So let's go back to the beginning where we get from nyayam. Nyayam hi jnanam.
Nyayam.
Then gutta. Gutta jnanam, two words, it's a compound. Me jatam. Patta jnanam, two words, patta jnanam. Me jatam iti. Okay? Me jatam iti. Then sakshat. That da becomes da because of the following up. Sakshat. anubhuyamanatvat. Lucy? Ataha. Oh, let me do that.
Hold on.
Nyayam hi jnanam, definitely, or because, for the he, jnanam is nyayam. Jnanam is objectified. Jnanam is an object of knowledge. The jnanam, a cognition, is nyayam. It is known, right? So the jnanam, the cognition, is nyayam. It is known. And now he gives an example, two examples. Gata jnanam me jatam. Gata pot cognition. Gata jnanam, pot cognition. Me, my pot cognition, right? Means I have a pot cognition. Me gata jnanam jatam. My jatam means it happens. I could just say I have a pot cognition. It means a pot cognition has occurred. It has taken place. It has arisen for me. So I have a pot cognition. I have a cloth. Patta, gata patta. Patta means a piece of cloth. And so these two things are used as just examples for cognition. I have a pot cognition. I have a cloth cognition. I have a rug cognition. All of these are cognitions. They're all known to me, right? So he says this just to drill it in. He gets to talk about obvious, an example though, just to tell you exactly what he's talking about. So then he says iti. Iti puts those two things in quotes. In quotes, I have a pot cognition. I have a cloth cognition. Iti. Sakshat. Sakshat is an indeclinable. Sakshat means that which is directly, immediately present for you. It's for aparoksha and pratyaksha jnanam. Anything that you have a sense perception of is sakshat. It's direct, immediately present. You're experiencing it right there in front of you. Aparoksha jnanam, the atma, the self, is sakshat. It's not present directly there as an object, but as your very being. So sakshat means it's there. It's not an indirect knowledge at all. So here, if you say, I have a pot cognition, I have a cloth cognition, that is sakshat. What is it? Anubhuyamanatvat. Because anubhuyamana means being experienced. Anubhuyamana, anubhuya, it is experienced. Anubhuyamana, it is now being experienced. In the present tense, it's being experienced. Anubhuyamana twat, because of being experienced directly, immediately. Right? Because it is being directly, immediately experienced. Anubhuya comes from anubhu. Anubhu means to experience. So anubhuyamana twat, because of being sakshat, directly, immediately experienced. In the form of I have a cognition, I have a pot cognition, I have a cloth cognition. Okay? So why is he saying all that? Nyayam, to prove nyayam is jnanam. Jnanam is nyayam. Jnanam is an object of knowledge. Okay for everybody? You see the twat because of being? Okay. You can see how often it's used, right? Let's do this last line here of this section. Ataha. Tasya anityatvena anatma swarupatvepi nitya bodha swarupatvam atmana upapadyate. Let's break the sandhi. Ataha tasya anityatvena anatma swarupatve api nitya bodha swarupatvam atmanah upapadyate.
That's atman.
Atmanah. Genitive, going along with the nitya bodhisvarupatva. Okay? Atmanaha upapajyate. Ataha, therefore. Tasya, for this. It's going back to the Bodha. Anityatvena. Even going back to the Bodha being used as jnanam, as cognition. Okay? So therefore, because of being anitya for this, because of this being anitya, but this is the tasya, or by that, by being anitya, by being non-eternal for that, because of that being non-eternal. Remember, whole argument is these two ways Bodha is being used. Bodha, if it's used as a cognition, if it's taken to be that, then it is anitya. So because of that being anitya, anatma swarupa tve pi, that locative tve with the pi, often translates as even when there is, anatma swarupatvam, for that, because of it being anitya. So even though that has the swarupa of being anatma, the not-self, even though that has for its nature being anatma, being the not-self, because of being anitya, so even when that's true, for jnanam, right? Next part. Nitya bodha swarupatvam atmanaha upapadyate. The atma being nitya bodha swarupa. The atma having for its nature nitya bodha, timeless bodha, in the sense of being used as consciousness, right? For the self, atmanaha, genitive. That is upapadyate. That is possible. That is tenable. Right? Because if we take Bodha to mean consciousness, then Bodha, if you define it like that, then Bodha is the swarupa of the Atma. If you define Bodha as is often just in layman's language, defined as a cognition, right, then of course it's not. But when you understand Bodha as consciousness, then it's absolutely tenable that be the swarupa of the Atma. So do you see here where it goes nitya bodha swarupa? Mm-hmm. That is the compound that's in on page 7, right? Of the first line of the verse, nitya bodha swarupa. Okay? So he's completing that argument. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem here with saying nitya bodha swarupa, right? Because bodha means chaitanya. So he's gone through all of that. It's very detailed, but remember, we're going very slowly. If you're actually reading it, you'll read it in 5 minutes. But you can understand and appreciate that they don't let anything slide.
No, it's very simple, actually, because of its simplicity.
Mm-hmm. And just this, and therefore this, little in baby steps. This is true, right? Yes, yes, yes. And this has to be true. Yes, yes, yes. That's how the whole teaching goes.
Is this something like the distinction between vidya and paravidya?
It could be. It could be. Aparavidya and paravidya. Usually aparavidya is used for maya, but if we said paravidya and we're making that distinction, then vidya would just be used as general knowledge that you're gaining in the creation. So that's nice. Everybody okay? We're going to do 15 more minutes. All right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good day.
What are we going to do?
Okay, bottom of page 9. Nanu. Nanu, another nanu.
Okay.
Here we are at the bottom of page 9. Repeat after me. Nanu.
Nanu.
Atmanaha.
Atmanaha.
Chaitanatve.
Chaitanatve.
Kim pramanam iti chait. Jagat prakasha iti brumaha. I'm going to read it with a semi broken. And by the way, the word chaitana is another word for chaitanya, right? Just like chit, chaitana, chaitanya. Nanu, atmanaha, Chaitanatve kim pramanam iti chait jagat prakashaha iti brumaha. Okay. He says the objection, none of doubt. Atmanaha chaitanatve. I would say that locative there for the tve is referring to, it means in reference to, but I'm just going to use, instead of saying in reference to, I'm going to say for. You'll see why. But so in reference to or for the consciousness. Chaitana means conscious, chaitanatva. You see that? Chaitana just means conscious, like an adjective, like the conscious person. Chaitanatva means consciousness. The word chaitanya, do you see that there's a vriddhi there? That chai, that I is a vriddhi letter with that ya, chaitanya. When you have a vriddhi as the first letter, plus a ya following at the end of the word, that also makes an abstract. So if I take the word chaitana, right, chaitana, chaitanya is coming from the same root, and both form an abstract. And so here, chaitanya means consciousness, chaitanatva. Atva is an abstract. That also means consciousness. So, and it governs the sixth case, so atmanaha chaitanatva, the consciousness of the self. Okay? So regarding, or for the consciousness of the self, kim pramanam, what is the pramana? What is the means of knowledge for actually before making the self conscious? For the consciousness of the self, how can you say that? What is the means of knowledge for that? Mm-hmm. Pramanam means means of knowledge. So that's the doubt. So he says, iti chait. In the Bhasha, when you say iti chait, that circumscribes right the doubt. You say the doubt, then you say iti chait, thus if. Means, thus if nanu, blah, 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 iti chait. Thus if you have this doubt. But literally, it's a shortcut, just iti chait, thus if. Then he gives the answer, jagat prakashaha iti brumaha. So if you ask that, what is the pramana? What is your means of knowledge for that? He says, and he's going to continue on in explaining this, but he gives what's called the pratignya. Pratignya means the knowledge that needs to be established. So the knowledge here is jagat prakashaha. It's a compound, a tatpurusha compound where jagat is in the shashti, is in the sixth case. The prakasha, the manifestation of the universe, of the jagat. By manifestation, they mean the shining of it. It is there, perceived, known. The jagat itself, the jagat, this experience of the jagat, just like the experience of the jnanavritti, it is known, it is manifest to you, right? Do you see how I'm using manifest? I'm not saying it's coming into manifestation. I'm not talking about creation. I'm talking about the fact that the jagat itself is known. Okay? So that's how he's using it here. Jagat prakashaha iti brumaha, thus we say. Means the siddhanti, the answer to the one who's answering the argument. Answering the doubt is the siddhanti. So the siddhanti says, brumaha, we say to this objection, what? Jagat prakashaha. Mm-hmm. Now he has to establish what he means by that. Okay? So repeat after me. Jagat prakashata iti.
Jagat prakashata iti.
Sarva jana siddham.
Sarva jana siddham.
I have to, that's a semicolon that I need to move over a little bit. So, sarva jana siddham. Tatra jnanadinam nyayatvena jadatvat atma prakashenaiva jagat
Jagat.
Prakashata.
Prakashata.
Iti.
Iti.
Nishchitam bhavati.
Nishchitam bhavati.
Sunday for this first little section, then we'll translate. Prakashate. Jagat prakashate. The A drops there. Iti. Sarva jamna siddham. The jagat shines. What does that mean? The jagat is manifest. Right? The jagat is presents itself. So you could just say the jagat shines, but you have to understand what it means. The jagat shines in consciousness as an object of knowledge. So jagat prakashate, the jagat is manifest as an object of knowledge. Thus, iti sarva jana siddham. Sarva all, jana people, siddham. This is established by everyone. In English you say everybody, this is accepted by everybody. Everybody agrees to this. Everybody accepts this. Siddha means it's a fact. This is everybody's knowledge. Sarva all, jana people, siddham, an established fact for everybody. In English, that iti we can translate as that. It is an established fact for everyone that the universe is known. So sometimes in Sanskrit, it's always going to put in quotes directly in the first person, and not in the first person, in the present tense usually, exactly how you would say it, like the jagat shines. Thus, this is an effect for everybody. We can put it into indirect language because in Sanskrit they don't have indirect language. In that case, you often use the word that. It is everybody's knowledge. It is agreed upon by everybody. It is established fact for everyone that the jagat shines. See the use of the word that? So if you sometimes with the use of the word iti, you will be translating it indirectly. Okay, for everybody? So everybody knows that the world shines. Tatra, see the tra? Regarding that, in reference to that. Jnanadinam nyayatvena jagatvat. Because of being, going from the bottom, from backwards, jagatvat, because of being inert, right? Why is it inert? They've already established this, but he's bringing this back, what he previously established. Because of being inert, by being, it's like by the fact of being, by being an object of knowledge for jnana, adi, etc., for a cognition, etc. The etc., pot, cloth, anything that is objectified, a cognition is included in that, right? Anything objectifiable, right, is inert by nature. That's a big sweeping statement. Even jnana, a cognition, is inert. Anything that is objectifiable gets the, it's denoted as jada, because it's objectifiable, so it can be differentiated from consciousness. What you're really differentiating is the maya, is the mitya. What is mitya? Right? Because mitya comes and goes, so you're differentiating it now from consciousness. We're not focusing on the fact that what is mitya has no being apart from consciousness. We are now just differentiating that which comes and goes. The whole jagat comes and goes, and it's objectifiable. And therefore, it itself is not conscious. Right? And so, if it is not conscious, what does it depend upon for consciousness, for being known? If it itself is jada, that's the argument. So, there, jnanadinam nyayatvena jadatvat. Atma prakashena, by the luminosity of the Atma, by the shining of the Atma, eva alone. Say only by the shining of the self. Let's see what it goes on to say. Jagat prakashate. The jagat, the world, prakashate, shines. Atma prakashena eva, only by the light of the self. Means the whole universe is only an object of knowledge. It is only known. It is only manifest because of the shining of the self. Okay? to do more. Iti nischitam bhavati. Thus, this is clear. Nischitam means it's clear. This knowledge is firm. It's clear. There's nothing to say about it.
Okay.
Clearly established nischitam. Okay. Then he goes on to tell you, give you an example. Is everybody okay with this?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat. Atmancha.
Atmancha.
Swa para prakashavan.
Swa para prakashavan.
Savitra.
Savitra.
Prakashavat.
Prakashavat.
Yata.
Yata.
Savita.
Savita.
Swayam prakashamano.
Swayam
prakashamano. Jagadapi.
Jagadapi.
Prakashayati.
Prakashayati.
Tata.
Tata.
Atma piti.
Atma piti.
Break the sentence. This will be our, we'll just do this sentence and then we'll start. Atma cha swa para prakashavan. Savitra prakashavat. Yata savita swayam prakashamanaha jagat api prakashayati tata atma api iti. Atma cha, there's atma coming after the first letter, word of the sentence, and the self, atma cha, swa, itself, para, another, prakashavan, right? The atma is prakashavan, one who shines. It has, from prakashavat, it has prakasha. It is one that illumines, prakasha, is the light of itself and of others. The atma lights up itself and others. Swa is itself, para is other. Prakasha means it shines. It shines, it illumines, it's the prakasha for itself and for others. Savitra prakashavat, like, but, there's the indeclinable but, like the prakasha of the sun, like the light of the sun. And the atma is the prakasha, is the light, for itself and for others. Savitra prakashavat, like the light of the sun. Yata, just as, savita, from savitra, nominative singular, just as the sun, swayam, itself, swayam means itself, prakashamanaha, present participle, just as the sun, while illumining itself, shining itself, right, being the prakasha for itself, shining for itself, or shining itself, jagat api, the universe also, prakashayati, it causes the world that, see that, instead of prakashate, it says prakashayati there, that aya, that makes it into a causal. So, just as the sun, you know, shines of its own accord for itself, swayam prakashamanaha, it also causes, just as the sun is self-manifest, it manifests its self-manifesting, self-shining, it also causes the jagat to shine. You see that? Prakashayati, it causes to shine. What? The jagat, the universe also. So not only is it its own light, it also lights up or causes the universe to light up. Tata, similarly, atma api. Similarly, the self also.
What?
Similarly, tata, atma, the self, also api.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means similarly, the self is self-evident, self-effulgent. It doesn't need anything to light it up. It lights itself up. It's its own luminosity. And it also lights up everything else. Just like the sun. The sun is self-evident. It lights itself up. And because of it, everything else becomes manifest. Like the Atma, like that. The Atma is self-evident and also lights up everything else, including the sun. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's just take a minute. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.